to commence this morning with hymn 736. Show me some token, Lord, for good, some token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. 736.
Let us read from the Word of God. In the Psalms, first of all, Psalm 95, and also read in the first chapter in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Psalm number 95. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let us also read, friends, in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, and to the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us, unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou knowest we gather here this Lord's Day morning. Thou hast appointed it, we trust. Thou hast made the way for us each. Thou hast given the sanctuary. Thou hast given thy precious word, preserved it. Oh, the many centuries of time. And Lord, we bless thee, thank thee for it. Oh, we pray, Lord, do grant us understanding in it. Oh, we especially pray we may know that wonderful knowledge that the apostle acknowledges in that early part of his letter. Oh, and do give us utterance, Lord. Oh, we pray for utterance. Oh, that for a poor minister utterance may be given him. But Lord, not just words, but Lord, it may be of thy inpouring, thy anointing, thy causing to flow into and through a poor pipe, thy precious word of thy holy communication for sinners. to do them good, Lord. Oh, dear Lord, do good in thy good pleasure and desire. Build there the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, if we come with a burden for souls, Lord, do know if it's our greatest burden, apart from the burden of our own heart and case, Lord, our own never-dying soul. Lord, oh, we have a burden. Oh, that thou wouldst bless souls, quicken souls, and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. And we trust, Lord, by thy grace we come in love, deserving to minister to the friends here, poor as we are. Yet, Lord, may it be that they shall be blessed to receive from thy fullness, Lord, this day. Dear Lord, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing this day in this sanctuary to do precious souls good. Oh, answer the prayer in the opening hymn, Lord. Oh, we beg we might have another token. But Lord, oh, we know the hymn begins, show me a token, Lord, for good. But, oh, thy dear servant of old, who thou didst give that exercise to pen and write, and the experience from the heart, he knew he must pen deeper things. Oh, Lord, that greatest, most important part of the asking in the hymn. Oh, seal my pardon to my soul. Then proclaim my peace with thee. Thus make my wounded conscience whole. This is what sinners here need, Lord. This is what we each need if we are being taught of thee. Oh, we need to know that favour. Oh, we pray as the apostle wrote, desiring to acknowledge how the Lord had filled those dear Corinthians who were sanctified in Christ Jesus and called, fill them with all utterance and knowledge. Oh, we pray for this, for thy dear people. Oh, that we might have that true knowledge, that true blessed favour of experiencing thy favour, thy dealing with us, thy attending to our cases, that light given understanding to know the truth, as thou, Lord, thyself did speak, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, oh, we do come begging this might be wonderfully known today by precious souls. Oh, that they might have that blessed favour to be brought into the liberty of the gospel. A true and real joy and peace in believing. Oh, this is what we desire. We trust, we desire and pray for it, Lord, with a single eye to thy glory. You know, if we have pondered somewhat in recent days upon that word that we have read, is Christ divided? Oh, what a tremendous question. And oh, we should lay it to heart and consider it. Examining ourselves, whether we be in the faith, and whether if we are favoured to believe we're in the faith, whether we are giving thee, Lord, all our heart. Oh, Lord, thou knowest. We have so much that cuts us and causes us to feel pain and grief. As we consider how we are, as we're brought to know our sins of omission, as well as our sins of commission. Oh, Lord, oh, how we omit to speak of thee, to speak of thee and to thy praise. Oh, Lord, we may easily, lightly sing, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. But, O Lord, thou dost see the heart. Thou knowest if they are only words. though to see the heart. And Lord, we know they were said they would have all the heart or nothing. Oh Lord, we pray then, grant today that the dear friends, that each of us and one personally might be led in exercise to so be earnestly seeking to know thy favour in these ways of thy solemn teachings, and favoured in this way we may have, as we have desired in the opening of the reading, Lord. Oh, as the psalmist had that exercise, come, let us worship the Lord, let us sing unto the Lord. Lord, this is what we desire here in this chapel today, to sing thy praises, to exalt thee, to exalt the precious Christ. That's the purpose and desire and exercise one and trust we're in. We might honour thee and praise thee. And the friends, the people, each as they know the favour, according to their experiences, might be favoured to have their souls set on fire with the love of God. And that we might know as we are together here, if ourselves are so blessed, set on fire with thy love, we know and believe it will kindle love in us and return to thee. Oh Lord, we pray, may we so be favoured, so blessed. Lord, may we be thankful for thy solemn dealings, as well as the things of the holy pleasure and favour of thy love and grace. May we also be able to acknowledge that those solemn realities of thy teaching, in bringing us into concern, bringing us into need to pray, we should worship thee for. We should be very thankful for. And Lord, as we do know and feel our need to pray for a token, Lord, for good, may we not be left to neglect to acknowledge that, Lord, they were indeed wonderful, important tokens, Lord, though we couldn't feel comfort in them then. But thou didst stop us, didst convict and convince us. Some of us here can acknowledge it, of our sin, and lead us to Jesus' blood. Oh, may we be thankful. Thankful for thy solemn teachings. Thankful, Lord, for thy chastenings. Oh, God, our Heavenly Father. Oh, we do want to bless thee and praise thee. That thou hast corrected us, chastened us betime. Oh, may we dwell upon it in this way with light and understanding. Oh, not in anger, but in thy dear covenant love. Lord, we pray, so bless thy children. They may have solemn consideration, solemn exercise. Oh, we might remember all the way. Bless us, Lord, as children. O Lord, thou didst speak in thy words, thy dealings with thy people as dear children. May we be led to know and feel how precious we are to thee. Oh, as well as we must know how precious thou art to us. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners. Oh, we are such to thee draw near. But Lord, give us that favour to know and believe that we are precious to thee. Lead us into it, Lord, in that way, granting blessed light and understanding with such a view, even that deepest, most wonderful, most solemn yet wonderful view. They shall look on him whom they pierced, mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and is in bitterness for his firstborn. O Lord, give such a view, such a glimpse, Lord, the poor sinners here. We know this will do them good. This will be so felt, profound and wonderful. Oh, it's our work, and bless souls. Bless the young friends, Lord. We are confident in believing there are dear young friends here, young as compared to us older ones. Oh, even some of the little ones it may be, but thou knowest. But Lord, the young people, oh, having grown up, some have been in studies at university and have been helped and favoured and blessed in that, at that time, and even blessed spiritually as they were in different places gathering with thy people. Thou didst bless them. Oh, there are one and another, we believe, who can say, he blessed me there. Oh, may it be brought back to them. May this be as a token, wonderful token, wonderfully clear. But oh, bless them today. Bless them, Lord. Oh, lead them on, favour them. Oh, may they truly know and taste redeeming love. Lord, where thou wast brought into solemn concern, oh Lord, all the needful attention, devotion to studies for that they needed to know, as a seeking to follow a useful purpose in life, and thou hast provided and made a way. Yet, Lord, if thy grace is in those, oh, thou wilt give them to know that one thing is needful. And the most important matter is, give me Christ or else I die. As thou dost teach them it, Lord, it bringeth them into that knowledge we hope to consider together here this morning. Lord, that blessed knowledge, wonderful knowledge, oh, the knowledge of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. Oh, as thou hast blessed such, oh, we pray that the time may come when thou wilt give them all utterance. Oh, Lord, here we read in Paul's confidence regarding the church at Corinth, but we know, Lord, he wrote the letter because of concern, loving concern, for those things he saw as deeply concerning him. He wanted to see them right. He prayed that thou, Lord, would make them right and keep them right. And all in that wonderful way, acknowledging at the beginning, but we know as we read through the epistle, those solemn, deep, important things to be attended to and addressed. Oh, his letter firm, faithful, loving, oh, and all with a desire for thy glory, thy people's good, and a triune God's honour and glory. So, Lord, we trust we gather here today among the friends here. It is in our little way we feel exercise for thy glory. Oh, thy people's good and thy glory. So, Lord, come, we beg, and favour souls. Quicken dead sinners into life, Lord. Who knoweth who is still dead in sin. It be thy will to quicken them. May thy work appear in this way. Do, dear Lord, quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Lord, we pray thus, there may be a witness of this in due time, that thou hast so worked in one and another. Lord, we do pray we may be made thy witnesses. Thou knowest the things we considered last Lord's Day. Thou knowest the things that dear servants of God have considered this week. Oh, we do pray, Lord, and the friends have gathered. May there be the flowing on, the favour known. Oh, the favour known by those who are heavy laden, burdened, tried. O Lord, how the apostle much dealt with the things of the conflict and the things of tribulation. And Lord, oh, we know, writing in another place, the secret of it all was, as he so sacredly set it forth always, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. May we know something of that deep blessed favour. So be with thy people, older friends who may much feel to need to be confirmed in the faith. Oh, the renewing is so much needed of those former mercies. Oh Lord, how we sometimes acknowledge thy former visits we recount on Miser's Hill and Herman's Mount, and now, and yet my soul desires anew thy sweetest, loveliest face to view. Bless thy people as they need, and so be favoured, Lord, suit thy blessing to each case, Lord. Feed souls, strengthen them, build them up. Oh, there may be those famishing and feeling so poor and weak. Feed them, Lord. Oh, feed them with the finest of the wheat. And in all these ways, according to thy sovereign purposes, so bless and get to thyself honour and glory. So help us each, Lord. We pray for all thy people, Lord. Many we do not know. We know part of Paul's great rejoicing was that thou hast broken down the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles. Oh, the witness of this in souls so dealt with and blessed. Lord, we would love and pray for all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Those we know in a goodly number up and down across the land of, Lord, our friends meeting in other causes. There are, Lord, the twos and the threes. There are the larger congregations. Lord, we trust we can acknowledge humbly we love them all in thy name. And pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them. Favour them to know thy presence with them this day. Bless the word. Favour thy servants, help them, bless them, make them a blessing. We especially remember the younger dear men thou hast recently sent forth. O Lord, bless them in thy time with spiritual children. Also use them in thy name, prove them, use them, make them a blessing. Lord, be with them on the walls of Zion this day. Lord, thou knowest where each are. Where thy people meet, may they know the secret. There they behold thy mercy seat. Lord, bless souls. We remember those that are laid aside. We should remember our friend Mr. Dawson. We heard yesterday of his condition just a little improved. Lord, thou knowest thy will concerning him. Lord, we do pray for thus for each one. If dear Mr. Brougham is venturing and able to minister today, do wonderfully help him and bless him and make him a blessing. Oh Lord, that he may be restored in that measure so as he can, as he so longs to and desires and believes that he will yet minister in thy holy name. Lord, especially as he made known, he has a special exercise to preach regarding the precepts of the gospel. Lord, oh, we pray, Lord, may it be with the young people and each of us as we may read his writings, may we find that blessed ring, as we believe we will, of these things, for we know one knows and feels he was so sincere in pouring out his heart to us of the things he has in love for souls, in exercise. Oh Lord, yet bless him. Use him and make him a blessing. Bless him in his own soul and his dear one, Lord. Oh, they knoweth how they have considered together regarding their driving some short distance each and alternately. Watch over and keep them, Lord. Lord, be with them. Oh, we would remember everyone. O Lord, all are known to thee. And O our country, the state of it, Lord, and at this time, with all the preparation for the athletics and things, Lord, so much attention to all these things. And so few come to the solemn feasts of Zion. Lord, we are very saddened by the state of our land, disruption of our services through these things, Lord, may it be overruled of thee for good, where thy people as friends in Luton had to gather in different circumstances last Lord's Day. But Lord, do thou overrule for good. Oh, we so remember many years ago, our friend the late Mr. Pack preaching to us at Stockfold, in such love and careful acknowledgement of something that was in the news and being so much spoken of, and praying, Lord, our dear friend praying that, Lord, thou wouldst use it for good, even for the blessing of souls. Where there was the natural mirth, and especially regarding a hymn that was being so much sung, our dear late friend's heart and desire and prayer was that if it could please thee, Lord, thou would use it for good and to thy glory. Oh, we know thou canst, Lord. Everything's in thy hand. All events at thy command. And thy people's great comfort is not a single shaft can hit till the God of love see fit. So, Lord, though we live in dangerous days, dangerous is the path we go, yet, Lord, our confidence is in thee, our hope is in thee. Give us that favour of the view of thee gone before us, our glorious leader. Help us to remember, ever remember and be concerned that our glorious leader claims our praise for his own pattern given. So help us, Lord, to be concerned day by day to live unto thee. We beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 169. Some wise men of opinions boast and sleep on doctrine sound, but Lord, let not my soul be lost on such enchanted ground. 169.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, and the verses 4, 5, and 6. That is, the first of Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 4, 5, and 6. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The Lord has given me this word personally for meditation, I trust, and also I trust given me it to bring to you before you this morning. The Apostle Paul was wonderfully favoured, a favoured man in a special way, especially here as it's witnessed that he was in God's hand, used of God for the planting of the church at Corinth, and as he was at the other places, but here at Corinth. And he's writing this letter acknowledging these dear people who God had blessed under his ministry. Very humbly, graciously, he makes acknowledgement of them in this way, especially in the beginning of this letter, as he addressed his letter to them, in writing to them, and Sosthenes, their brother, he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Notice in the opening he says, called to be saints. And so he says, he acknowledges them. He says, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. They were, friends, in the early days of their spiritual experience. They were, in some good measure, established in the faith, but they were, I believe, in the early days of their spiritual experience. And so he puts it like that, called to be saints. I want to just bring out, before we come to the words we've named as a text, a few things that I see here. This sanctification that they know, sanctified, the term sanctified in Christ Jesus, I believe it meant this. They had been affected under Paul's ministry. The Spirit had so worked in them, made an impression in them, and brought them to know as Christ was preached, because if you look at the heading of the whole chapter, it's the preaching of Christ, the cross of Christ. It's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And this is what Paul had been involved in, wonderfully in God's hand, preaching in those areas of Asia Minor. And God had so blessed the word, as he did each of the apostles, that they were used of God. And these people of the Corinthians, affected under the power of the preaching of the gospel, the power of the Spirit, they were blessed. They were brought to know salvation by grace, hope in Christ. And let me be clear, friends, I believe they were these of the church that God, that the Lord specially leads Paul to acknowledge, sanctified in Christ Jesus and called. They had been baptized, because we read further concerning, they were baptized. They were certainly baptized by the Holy Spirit, and they followed in the ordinance of baptism according to the example of Christ, and as the apostles followed that example, these characters were members of the church at Corinth. baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They were the characters God had blessed, and they'd been the witness of this by their obedience, according to what God had done in them. They were so named here. And if, as we read the whole chapter, where there were things of concern given to Paul, he expresses how in a certain way he was thankful he had not baptized them all, only those he names. But of course he says, I know not who I'm baptized, meaning he did not know all and in every case where the Spirit of God had worked and they'd been baptized of the Holy Spirit. There was the outward acknowledgement of it by some genuinely, but others he was concerned for, and the things of discord he was concerned over. But in all his exercise in this first chapter, he is concerned first for God's honour and glory, for the dear people's good, and for God's honour and glory, and that he's writing in love and faithfulness, reminding them, exhorting them, warning them. And so we have in this letter, it so begins and is set, and Paul acknowledges the vital things that they were brought to know under God's wonderful love and mercy in their personal experiences. And that's what I want to feel the burden of exercise to bring before you today, especially this morning upon these few verses we've named. And Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf. What graciously exercised man he was. He was concerned for souls. He was concerned to acknowledge what God had done. He was concerned to be careful for them, prayerful over them, and to so carry them. He was concerned in that way. He says, I thank my God. And giving thanks to God, I thank my God always. See how he says always, meaning not just once, in a continuance of exercise. I thank my God always. I believe dear Paul was totally genuine in this statement. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. What a favour it is for a minister to be in such an exercise. I feel to come so short, friends, but there's such a statement there of exercise that dear man was carrying, a great apostle indeed, the greatest apostle. But oh, the points, the vital points, the importance of them, what he has in his heart to write in this letter, to acknowledge and to communicate to them. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. Now there's nothing in this verse of this early part of this letter to foster pride, to bolster up, to foster pride. It is so honest, so faithful. He gives God the glory. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace, and the grace of God is the free, unmerited favour of God, the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. And the crown of this acknowledgement is upon Christ Jesus. It's God's love and God's grace, the grace of that comes through all what Christ Jesus has done. You know the grace of our Lord, Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I thank my God. Now, without, of course, naming or pointing to any one of you today, I feel in my heart there are those among you I'm not the judge, but with the discernment God gives me, I feel I can say in some little measure, as Paul does here, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. There are evidences, but friends, I must be faithful. There should be more. There should be more evidences. And so we would consider then this fifth verse, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and knowledge. You know, the folly of professing people, they may have knowledge, but their utterance is very shortcoming. They may have utterance, but their knowledge is very much wanting. But here, the apostle brings such a complete, wonderful, loving, faithful acknowledgement. He says that in everything ye are enriched by him, notice enriched by him, in all utterance and knowledge. Now I put this before you in this way and to myself, that it might search us, friends. Are we able to say with some humble hope that we are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge? Some of you will say, well, I need to know much more. I need the Lord to favour me more. That is quite right and good, and God will acknowledge that. I assure that. But, you know, the point must be asked as well. Have we acknowledged what God has already done? Because if we have this knowledge, do you hope you have true experience of knowledge of salvation through Jesus the Lamb? Is that how you're living with hope? God has granted you to be brought, to be concerned, to seek the Lord, to know your sinnership, your guilt, to know conviction, to be brought into solemn concern, to know you deserve hell, to cry out to God, if my soul were sent to hell, God's righteous law approves it well, to so deeply feel under conviction your just desert. But then in great mercy the Lord led you to seek him, gave you hope, raised you to a hope, and made Christ precious to you. You have that experience of knowledge. But are you shortcoming in the utterance? These dear people were enriched. They were enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. A solemn light this brings to us, to search us, friends, regarding what God has done for us. Whether we have been blessed to so fully know and taste redeeming love, or whether we have, some of us, tokens we should acknowledge. We've been praying in the opening hymn for a token of God's special love. Show me that I am born of God, let my treasure is above him. And let me put it very pointed and clear. Some of you know it. Some of you have known it. But you want it. Some of you are praying. It would be praying that hymn, as that hymn puts it, in a way of needing it renewed. Needing it again. Needing another token. But, should we not consider our shortcomings in not acknowledging what God has already done? Here the apostle, in acknowledging the wonderful favour God had favoured these Corinthians with, he said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. Now, Paul would not make that statement, friends, if there was any doubt. He knew it. He witnessed it. And that means the people were witnessing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known it. The people were witnessing regarding what God had done, how the Saviour, the Son of God, had enriched them with all utterance and knowledge. Does it search us, friends, to how, regarding how we stand, how we come so short? It will, I believe, if we are tender in the fear of God, it will search us and make us feel how we come so short. And you know, when I think of my own experience, and God has wonderfully favoured me over the years, we've had the hard things, the deep trials, hard things, but we've had such great favour, and one was best so much, so greatly favoured in our earlier life and experience. And you know, when the Lord gave me a token for good, a token of his special love, he gave me one and another. But the important thing that I felt to have to keep carrying in exercise before God was I wanted to know and have my pardon signed and peace with God. That's just the very theme of what we've been singing, isn't it? Oh, seal my pardon to my soul. But if I can kindly and carefully and without any fostering of pride in me, because I greatly dread that I should be left to that. But you know, I can honestly say that I was blessed to be giving glory to God for the tokens. I was blessing him day by day, and yet, yes, there were many changes, and we had times when we felt we'd lost the presence of our friend and mourned like him whose comfort's gone. And the Lord led us much into the Song of Solomon, who the spouse acknowledged, my beloved has withdrawn himself and is gone. But I can say, by the grace and favour of God, we did earnestly seek him like the spouse did. And come to that time when we could say, I found him whom my soul loveth. And God so blessed us, sealing his word of pardon from those words in the Song of Solomon. I believe that is how God works, according to his will in his people. But you see, they will have acknowledgement. Every step from first to last proclaims that God is love, and his people must proclaim it. God requires this, that his people shall acknowledge him. And this is what Paul so brings out here. He says, I thank my God always on every remembrance of you. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God that every man remembers. That's another scripture. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. Oh, this enriching. Oh, this favour of being enriched. You know, God's people will be brought to know their deep poverty. Oh, their deep, deep conviction and bringing into and feeling of such poverty. Unable to do anything for oneself. Oh, feeling so poor, so helpless. But in that deep felt poverty, poverty of heart and soul, they cry out to God, Lord, have mercy. Lord, forgive. And it's that perfect poverty. We sing of it, don't we? Perfect poverty alone that sets the soul at large. It's not actually the poverty that sets the soul at large, but it's the means of God's teaching to bring us so low, so weak, so poor. We're brought to be so poor. And then we are enriched by God giving. God causing to flow into our very hearts and souls faith. Faith to believe. Faith to look out and away from self to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the bleeding lamb. Revelation of Christ. The favour of being brought into knowledge. Knowledge of salvation through Jesus the Lamb by divine revelation of Christ. And God giving faith for a soul to believe, to lay hold of the hope in the gospel. This is how sinners are enriched. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Oh, the poor, poor bankrupt souls. Oh, we'll need that holy, sacred redemption that God may bless them to know they are bought back. Their debt is paid. Their state of insolvency is settled. They are redeemed. They are bought with a price. The price, the holy heart's blood of Christ. You are enriched in all knowledge. Knowledge by the experience, by the seal of the Spirit, that the Lord has done it for you. He suffered in your place. He's bled and died at Calvary for you. This knowledge that ye are enriched, this is what Paul preached. This is what affected these Corinthians. This is how they were brought to be baptized of the Holy Spirit. This is how they were favoured and helped and enabled to follow Christ and be baptised in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. This is how they were made witnesses. Oh, and this is what Paul writes to them acknowledging. Before he starts considering the things that also he is troubled over, he acknowledges what God has done. He acknowledges what they were made by grace. Yes, there are things he's concerned about that he writes concerning, but he makes clear acknowledgement of the grace they had received. Have they been enriched by Christ with all utterance and knowledge? I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything, see, God's teaching us will affect us for everything. It will affect us. It will be lessons learned day by day regarding all our life. Our conduct will change from what we were when we were called by grace. We still have an old nature, but we will be troubled about the ways of our old nature by the grace in us in the new man of grace. So our life has changed. New creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And in that reality, that is exercised day by day. If there is not exercise deep within the new nature, there will be concern over the fact that we are incarnalies. But you see, it's in you, it goes on, it's maintained in you, that though you may be very, very dark and feel very, very far off, yet that life is maintained by God in you. He keeps alive your soul, and there deep within you there is a concern, because you know and feel you're not in the condition you should be in. See, oh God, it's wonderful. I think it's in one of the Psalms in the 60s, perhaps 66, he holdeth our soul in life. Yeah, it is so. There are many changes, solemn things that we have to feel of our state and condition. But deep within the new man is that exercise, that knowledge, that need felt. Oh, yes. But in the favoured times, That is acknowledged here by the apostle that was the Corinthians were enabled in practice to witness. He including this in the early part and opening of the letter, he says, acknowledging this to the glory of God, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You may think, well, that seems to follow on what the minister was bringing before us last week. Yes, it does, in those ways, but of course it's not given me to be able to connect it or follow it on. The dear Spirit must do it. If the dear Spirit do it, then it will be done. You will be affected under the power of God. It will have an effect. There will be fruits. There will be results of God to his glory. Fruit to eternal life. Do you have it in your heart like this? In a humble desire? Fruit to eternal life I would bear, the feeblest branch of thine. Oh, do you really want to? Do you have that in you to desire to bring forth fruit to God's glory? Do you love him so much? Has he made his love known to you so much, the power of it, and that's affected you to love him, to desire to love him? Oh, look, my soul could love and praise him more. His beauty trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all is well esteemed. If the Spirit is so affecting you at this moment, as the poor minister is trying to preach these things that are in his heart to bring, God's given us this message and a heart and exercise to bring them before you. If you feel affected under them, well, there's a witness of the Spirit in it. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, they are life. And it is all concerning your hope of salvation in Jesus the Lamb. And if God's favoured you to be blessed or have that hope, good hope through grace, what does the Lord require of thee? Oh, he requires of thee to show forth his praise. I believe it is clear if you read the context and carefully study it and look for the deep couch beneath as God may reveal it. These Corinthians, they were witnesses of what had taken place. They were enriched with all utterance and knowledge. They were like the psalmist saying, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us worship our God. Let us praise his great name, the great name of Jah, Jehovah. Let us worship our God. Let us worship God in Christ. Let us praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost for what God has done for us. They received it by Christ Jesus. All what the Lord has done in his coming into this world, his walk on earth, his submitting unto such low places laid in the manger. The Ancient of Days. How he walked this earth, despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. How he went to Calvary, Gethsemane and Calvary, willing there to go there to suffer, bleed and die according to the perfect will of God. See the weakness of his human frame, his human nature, separate from sinners, undefiled, but his weakness. Oh, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, to his Father praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But in the holy will of God, nevertheless, not my will, yet, but thy, mine be done. And oh, how he said then to his disciples, arise, let us go hence. and knowing he would go from the Garden of Gethsemane, be arrested then and taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. But he did it all. He suffered for his people, thus became our hiding place. Oh, your hope for heaven, your hope against hell, your hope against your just deserts of being cast into hell forever and being lost forever is in Christ. That he bore the hell due to you, that he suffered in your stead. He bore the curse for you. He paid the price. He shed his holy blood. He made atonement for your sins. It's what you've been blessed with, this favour, being so enriched. You are enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge. Friends, this was the witness Paul gave as regarding these Corinthians. And oh, in love he writes to acknowledge it. And we consider it today, in this light, how do we stand? Oh, we so much talk one with another who thought we come. But are we really deeply heartfelt, with heartfelt concern, are we concerned about it? Do we really love the Lord or no? Oh, it's a point I long to know. Oft he causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? But, you know, that's genuine in the question of it. But is it used for an excuse? Is it sometimes used for an excuse? When the Lord is already blessed, already favoured, but because of our folly we've come into darkness. But Lord, the Lord has favoured us, has blessed us, but now we're in darkness. Were we shortcoming in acknowledging it earlier? Do we need help and grace and light and the Lord to open up and renew us and give us to feel the power of his love that we felt once? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and my Lord? And questioning why? And humbly acknowledging and confessing and feeling sorrow and deep repentance over why we've failed. We failed to honour him as he requires. The Lord doesn't require anything of us for our salvation. He has done everything for our salvation. But he requires of us praise, honour and glory. And oh, we should be very concerned about our shortcoming of it. But not to just leave it there, just expressing our concern of shortcoming, but being concerned to beg for help, that we might be enriched in all knowledge, in all utterance and knowledge. Oh, this is what the apostle is concerned to bring out, and that the Lord would so use his letter to impress upon them and encourage them to continue to so be blessed and favoured and enriched by him in all utterance and knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And he says, so that ye came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ye came behind in no gift. Do you feel, do I feel, do we feel we come behind in these gifts? God the giver, we receive, but we come behind in acknowledging them. You dear young people, if you have a gift given you for, say, a birthday or whatever season it is, your parents will be concerned. I know my mother was always ever so concerned to instruct me that I must write a note of thank you or a gift. And we try to see this so today in our family. Many things are sad in our family, but this one thing is usually practiced. the thankfulness for gifts. But oh, there's a word in the Word which we read, this wonderful word, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And that, I believe, is thanksgiving to God the Father, God Jehovah, God the Father, the three persons, because all are concerned to save our souls, but especially to God the Father who gave his only begotten Son. You know, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift that God gave for his people, his only begotten Son. And his only begotten Son laid down his life and suffered, bled and died in his people's room place instead. Thanks be to God. Oh, friends, how important it is. So that ye come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, come behind in no gifts, because God has been the giver of every good and every perfect gift, and his people know that as God bestows his gifts. The wonderful favour of the gift of faith, the gift of grace, the grace of life, and then especially to know our need and to rely upon this vital grace, the grace of faith given of God, enabling us to believe. We believe by faith. By faith we lay hold of the hope in the gospel. By faith we lay hold of Christ. We believe in him as our Lord, our life, our all. And you come behind in no gift. I believe means that you render praise for this, for all God's gifts. The gifts of the graces of the Spirit of God. He openeth his hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. That generally applies to all mankind, but it applies in a special way in grace, in the things of grace, the sovereign grace of God. He openeth his hand. His people do not lack. They will not lack any good thing. He'll give all the graces of the Spirit when they're in a path of deep waters and deep trouble and maybe loss, deep loss. He'll give the grace of submission. His grace will be proved sufficient. His grace shall to the ends stronger and brighter shine, nor present things nor things to come shall quench the spark divine. His people will be living to acknowledge his grace. And so, especially as God gives the grace of faith for a child of God to have a glimpse of Christ suffering at Calvary for me. Is there a soul here? You had a glimpse of Christ suffering in your place on the cross of Calvary, and yet you're not fully enriched in all utterance and knowledge. That will search you, if it's so. It will. Oh, you want to be, you have a desire, pure desire, holy desire, and an exercise to seek help, that you might show forth the praises of him who loved you and gave himself for you. God will. He will bring it. He will bring it to pass in your case. He'll enrich you with all utterance and knowledge, so that you can tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour you have found. And this way he will bless. He will manifest in this church, in this cause of truth, how he's favoured souls. Bless them. Bless them with hope. Hope in Christ. Oh, bless them to know and taste redeeming love. Amen.
the collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pack next Lord's Day, and hopes, if his voice is strong enough, to address the Sunday school. And the collection today is for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Let us close with hymn 180. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. 180.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss. Own and bless thy word, Lord. Oh, we confess the shortcomings in our prayers, Lord. We especially remember those not able to be here, and also acknowledge thy mercy to one in enabling him to return home. Do give all grace to the loved ones, Lord, in that way of need to care for their loved one. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.